Welcome to Calvary Cares, hosted by Curtis Dias, president of the Calvary Care Center in East Freetown, on FM 95.9, AM 1480, WSAR.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the program called Calvary Cares Radio Hour. Hey, my name is Curtis Dias. As you know, I'm the president of Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, which is located at 33 Brayley Road. And we have the great privilege of coming on every Saturday between from 3 to 4 o'clock. And I hope that you've been enjoying these messages of hope and inspiration. Hey, the purpose of me coming on is to give hope to the people in our community from Fall River and New Bedford and Taunton and all the rural areas in our community and Swansea and Seekonk and Westport and the surrounding areas in Freetown. Listen, I know things are very difficult in America and throughout the world today, but I come by to give you a message of hope that you're not alone, and we have a community that really cares for people, that loves people, and we want you to know that, you know, things are going to get better, you know, it's going to be better. Now, today I want to talk to you about overcoming stress. Overcoming stress will be our topic for today. And I don't know if any of you guys are stressed out or burnt out or worn out, but here at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, what we do workshops on stress and, you know, being burnt out and worn out and all that. So we want to give you a special invitation. If you need someone to talk to, you know, want to interface with someone or dialogue with someone, you say, I had someone just to talk to, just to speak with for 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour, I want to give you a special invitation to call me at 508-763-8343. 508-763-8343. If you just want to talk to somebody about your circumstances and situation, I'm here for you. I'm available for you. As many of you know, that Calvary Cares Drop-In Center has been sponsored by Boston Medical Center, the Bureau of Substance Abuse, and also Calvary Pentecostal Church, which is located in 33 Brayley Road in East Freetown. As many of you know that listen to this program every week, some of the services that Calvary Cares Drop-In Center does, we do health insurance navigation. What does that mean? If you don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Harvard, Pilgrim, I mean Tufts, and all the major insurances, you can come to Calvary Pentecostal Church or Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, and we'd be more than happy to help you with health insurance navigation. That's what we're here for. We would like you to have the right doctors, because self-care is important, physical care is important, you know, and spiritual care is very important. And at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, we want to assist people in our community that don't have health insurance navigation. Also, harm reduction services. What we do, there's a lot of people that's in our community. We call them the working poor. There's many people now, you know, we always dealt with the fourth world people, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the prostitutes, you know, people say the crackheads and all that stuff. We always help, you know, reach out to the unreachables and touch the untouchables. But we've been finding that the working poor are sick and they're suffering mentally, psychologically, emotionally, and financially. And, you know, so it's part of our harm reduction services, man. We got hats, we got jackets, we got shoes, we got t-shirts for people and stuff like that. We got toothbrush, we got stuff like that. So if you know somebody that's sick and suffering, that's broke, busted, and disgusted, you know, down and out, and they're working poor. And when I talk about working poor, the people that, two people in the same house, they got full-time jobs, but they're paying their rent or their mortgage or the light bill and the gas bill and the telephone bill and the cable bill and insurance bill, you know. Then you know, they got health insurance bills. I mean, By the time they get their Social Security check or their little check if they're on welfare, man, it's very difficult. And people get, you know, broke, busted, and almost disgusted. And they, a lot of people are working poor. Some people now in Fall River, in New Bedford, and in the surrounding areas, they're living in their camper. They're living in their cars. I mean, because they can't pay the rent. They can't pay the light bill. They can't pay the gas bill. They can't pay the cable bill. They can't pay the electrical bill or the oil bill. Thank God it's spring that we're going to summer, that the oil man don't have to get us for $5.25 and stuff like that. So what are some of the services that we do at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center? Health insurance navigation, harm reduction services, mental health counseling. We are with an excellent group called Burns and Forts out of New Bedford. These men have life experience, lived experience, and professional experience. And they went back to school and they got their master's degree from Springfield College. And they work one-on-one with individuals, group counseling, peer counseling. I mean, they deal with stress, anxiety, fear. They deal with suicide prevention and many other different things. And these guys are excellent. They deal with OCD and they also intrusive thoughts, and they're balanced. Thomas Burns and John Forts is a great individuals that do mental health counseling. And what we're doing here at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center is grief counseling. Many people, you know, sons and daughters have died of overdose of fentanyl, and they need some place to go to talk about it, you know. And we do grief counseling, one-on-one counseling for people. We do suicide prevention counseling. And so we have a mental health counseling division, and it's a beautiful organization. We believe in recovery coaches. Recovery coaches are individuals that reach out to the people that are sick and suffering in our community. If you have a son or daughter or somebody in your family that needs somebody to talk to, recovery coaches will pick them up. Recovery coaches will have coffee with them. Recovery coaches will bring them to the AA meeting and NA meeting and the CA meeting, and, you know, just interface and dialogue with them. So we believe in recovery. Overdose education. Man, here at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, located at 33 Burley Road, we have the best overdose education programs in all of Southern New England. Man, we did workshops of all kind. This month, we did workshops on CPR training. All our staff are CPA trained, and not only that, Narcan trained. So, and all our volunteers. So, say we have 18 volunteers. They're all CPR trained and Narcan trained, and we believe in that. Then, also, we did a workshop on stopping a bleed. So, if somebody cuts their finger, somebody gets shot, somebody gets wounded, we know how to, you know, stop the bleed, and was excellent. And this, I want to give you a special invitation for all those that's listening to our program. On May 22nd at 9:30 here at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, we're going to have an excellent workshop with the Freetown Fire Department, Freetown Board of Health, and it's talking about, you know, recognizing a stroke, how to recognize a stroke and help stop the stroke, because time is very important on that. So on May 22nd, next Friday, here at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, I want to give a special invitation, free of charge, to come on in 9:30 to 10. We have food, we have donuts, we have muffins, coffee, we have all kind of food. And from that period of time, on from 9:30 to 10, then from 10 to 11, the Freetown Fire Department will come and show us videos and PowerPoint presentations, all that about how to recognize a stroke and how to, you know, address it. Because they say if you can get it within a certain amount of time, it can really save a person's life. So we're going to be doing that, and we want to give you a special invitation to come on down May 22nd here at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. Drop on in. And our center is non-judgmental. Ours is warm and welcoming. We have a state-of-the-art facility. We have plenty of parking. It's excellent. So we're going to give you a special invitation on May 22nd from 9:30 to 10. refreshments from 10 to 11. We're going to have the fire department showing us a presentation. Then we have questions and answers. Then at 12 o'clock, we will cater a lunch to you, and maybe with lasagna, baked ziti, any pasta, meatballs, and bread. And it's free for anybody in the community. When I say anybody in the community, I'm talking about people in Swansea. I'm talking about people in Somerset. I'm talking about people in Westport. I'm talking about people in Fall River, in New Bedford, in Freetown, in Berkeley, in Dayton, in all the surrounding areas. And you can come over here. I mean, we've been doing great things here at Calvary, and our overdose education program is excellent. Sometimes we do workshops on overcoming opiate use disorder. How can you recognize the signs if your sons and daughters are being addicted to drugs and alcohol and different things like that? And then we have mental health issues. We talk about MAPS. You know what MAPS are. MAPS are medical assessment, treatment, therapy, and behavior. We believe in that. So we believe also at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center that there's many pathways to success, overcoming addiction of all kind. And we use every pathway there is. If it's a word of encouragement, we would do that. If it's going to AA or NA or CA or, Cocaine Anonymous, or if it's 12 steps, or if it's Al-Anon, if it's Celebrate Recovery, if it's going into synagogue, if it's going to methadone clinic or Suboxone or Vivitrol, I mean, you have to start somewhere, So this is what we advocate. Now, Calvary Cares Drop-In Center is going to be a peer-to-peer support center in the state of Massachusetts that's going to be sponsored completely from the Bureau of Substance Abuse. And see, substance abuse has peer-to-peer support centers in Fall River, in New Bedford, and also in Taunton. And that's good, but that's the big cities. But we want one in a rural area where people can get help. Because in a rural area, we need assistance. We need a guidance. We usually, in the rural area, there's no transportation in the rural area. There's no pharmacies in the rural area. There's so many boundaries that it reduces people. We don't have community centers. We don't have like High Point or Seven Hills. We don't have a STAR organization. So what we're going to do, we're advocating to be the peer-to-peer support center here in the rural area, so we can do health insurance navigation, so we can do harm reduction services, so we can do mental health counseling and recovery coaches and overdose education and Narcan distribution and peer group support and medication for opiate disorder. Yes, in the rural area, we believe that is important because people need help in the rural area. Now, most people in the rural area are shy. They're self-reliant and everything like that. So it's not like in the inner city. So Calvary Cares Drop-In Center wants to be the peer-to-peer support center in the rural area. So you can come here where it's warm, where it's welcoming, where it's non-judgment, so where professional people can assist you and to guide you and to direct you and to help you. We believe we should have it right in Freetown, in our state-of-art facility, where everybody comes. Calvary Cares not only meets the psychological aspect needs of people or physical, but every Thursday at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center, located at 33 Burley Road in East Freetown, we have free food, and we call it the Farmer's Market. Every Thursday at 12 o'clock, we invite everybody in our community that needs food. We are here to serve you. Last week, we gave out maybe 420 families came by, and we gave out food, senior citizens, council agent, the veterans, single mothers, single fathers. And we want to give you a special invitation to relieve people's stress and anxiety. What we do, we partner up with the Food Plate Organization and the YMCA and Night Away and Calvary Pentecostal Church and other organizations. And every Thursday at 12, we give out free food. And last week we gave out, let me give you an example, potatoes and carrots carrots and onions, and we gave out some chicken and hamburger and meat of all kind. We give out macaroni and cheese. We give out white rice, brown rice. We give out milk. We give out juices. We give out fruit. I mean, we give a great nutritious plan, and we've been doing this for years upon years upon years. So we want to give you a special invitation to come on down and get some healthy food at Calvary Cares Drop-In Center at 12 o'clock every Thursday. But you might want to get here early because the parking lot gets full to capacity. I mean, they're all there. Then on the sides of the church in the center and also on the roads. But we have excellent, excellent food, and we love helping out people, and we see people coming of all ages and backgrounds. And, you know, the veterans come on Thursday. They come on Saturday also. I mean, senior citizen, council agent, veterans, all different nationalities, background. I mean, we help out the working poor, the people that have jobs. And sometimes if you can't get here on Thursdays at 12 o'clock, then you can call our center at 508-763-8343 and set up an appointment with myself or one of my staff members. We'd love to help you and to assist you and to guide you, because we understand that one of the stresses that we have in society is paying our light bill and our gas bill and our telephone bill and our cable bill, you know, car insurance, car payments. And bills are high, but the funds are low. And we know that can bring stress. And, you know, what are some signs of stress? And, you know, psychologically, pounding of your heart, rapid breathing, or sometimes sweaty palms is another sign of stress. Cold hands and feet, lack of energy, headaches, muscle tension, sleep difficulties, stomach disorder, you know, migraine headaches and different things like that. Some people are signs of stress. Some people are at their wet end. They bite their nail. They pace back and forth. They start talking to themselves. Then that's the psychological evaluation. What are the signs? And then the emotional and mental signs of your irritable, nervous energy, lack of patience, you know, crying, losing the temper, worry, you know, emotional instability, you know, memory loss, lack of concentration, you know, negative attitudes and preoccupation of your mind and soul and spirit, because you're stressed out, you're burnt out, you're worn out, you got so much on your way, you know. And when the word stress is an engineer term, as you know, is how much can I take before I break, you know. So what are the signs of stress? I told you psychological stress, emotional stress, then behavioral stress, you know, sleeping more or sleeping less or eating more or eating less, you know, angry outbursts, withdrawing from others, you know. And this is the question, is why do we get stressed out? I'll tell you why we get stressed out sometimes, you know, is because we don't take care of ourselves. That's one reason why we get stressed out, that we don't take care of ourselves in the sense of, you know, let me give you an example. Or bad things might happen to us. That's where we get stressed out. Let me give you an example. Some good and bad stress. Now, if you have a death of a spouse, you can be stressed out. You can be burnt out. You know, that grieving. Now, I know grieving is normal and natural and necessary, but one reason why many people in society are deaths of their spouse, their husband, their wife, they've been together for 50 years, and all of a sudden somebody passes away. What do I do now? Who do I become? You know, and everything else. Another reason people get stressed out, divorce. Now, they say divorce is worse than death. You say, you know why divorce is worse than death? It's because you can go to Stop and Shop on aisle 9 and see the end individual there, and all them feelings come right back and stuff like that. So you're dealing with the death of a spouse or divorce. Another reason people can get stressed out, marital separation. You know, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to leave you. Now you got to pay alimony. Half of your paycheck is gone and stuff like that. You know, another reason why people get stressed out, some of our children went to jail, you know, and they're in house of correction and Ash Street Jail and down in the house of correction. That's why people get stressed. Personal injury or illness. I know in my case, you know, personal injury, I had a widowmaker. Widowmaker is when you have a heart attack and almost killed me. You can be stressed out about that. You know, personal injury, you know, your foot and all that, you had to miss work. That you can be stressed out in that capacity. Fired at work. That, you know, or having a car payment. My father said, you know, the quickest way to get on your feet is miss two car payments. But most people in America only maybe 2 weeks to a month away from being almost homeless, you know, or being evicted from the house because we don't have a lot of money in our savings account, in our checking account. And that's another, you know, another reason, retirement. Now people say, I can't wait until I retire. But retire is, you know, I can be stressed out. I'm going to be 67 pretty soon. And retirement is overrated. I mean, if I had a survey come or assessment saying I'm only going to make maybe $1,800 to $2,000 a month. I mean, what can that buy you? I mean, that the light bill, the gas bill, the telephone bill, the cable bill, and all that, you can be stressed out about that, you know what I mean? Retirement, you know, you don't have the funds coming in, you know, changing the health of your family. Somebody in your family can get sick. Well, my wife had breast cancer. She had to go to Dana-Farber. When she went to Dana-Farber, found out she had lumps in her left breast, and it came to a point that we had to go get insurance. We have to go up to Dana-Farber and, you know, get all checked out. And, you know, she lost all her hair, you know. And after she lost all her hair, she had to go through all the chemo and radiation for years upon years. And, you know, hopefully they can save, you know, the breast and the cancer is gone. I mean, you talk about being stressed out, seeing your bride, your wife, you know, that beautiful, long black hair. I mean, gorgeous. And all of a sudden, because of the chemo, because of the cancer, you know, you lose all your hair, have to wear wigs and stuff, go through all that treatment. I mean, that will stress you out. That will burn you out. And, you know, at that point in time, you realize, you know, I need a circle of support, man. I need family support. I need treatment support. I need community support. I need support from my family and my friends and my church in my center. I need community support, because if you don't have these things can trigger you. And maybe those that listen to me, you say, I had death of my spouse. I had to go through divorce, you know what I mean? My son's daughter's in jail, you know what I mean? Or death of a close family member, or personal injury, you know, fired at work. You know, you talk about retirement, change your health in your family. Sometimes even pregnancy can bring some stress upon you. Then sometimes the death of a close friend can bring stress upon you, you know, a change of responsibility at work, trouble with in-laws. You know, they say there's five troubles in marriage. Tell me if it's not true. You can be stressed out. Is money, sex, in-laws, lack of adaptability, and lack of communication. These things can get you all stressed out. And then not only that, you know, trouble with your boss and trouble, you know, in the community. And if you have these things compounding upon you, sometimes it triggers you to go out and want to drink or get high or smoke some reefer or do a couple lines of cocaine and all that. So we have to be very careful for those that come from a family of addiction, and we have to be very careful that we will not go into the club. We won't go into the bar room. We won't go back into the projects. We won't go with our old friends and stuff like that. No, if you find yourself stressed out and you're burnt out and you're worn out and you're at your wit's end and you have all the signs or signals of pulsing heart, rapid breathing, your sweaty palms, cold hands and feet, lack of energy, headaches, muscle tension, sleeping difficulties, and stomach discipline, and you can't eat, and you're worried, sick, and you're losing your temper, and you're always crying, and you have memory loss and lack of concentration, you know, in negative attitude, and that's not you, and you're sleeping more and sleeping less, and you're eating more, eating less, and you have anger outbursts, you're mad, you're pissed off, you are angry. You know, anger says I'm displeased with a situation. But I always say if you take the A off of anger, you know, put a D on anger, it brings danger. So we understand a lot of people, this program on overcoming opiate use disorder and substance abuse disorder and alcoholism in that capacity. And so these are some things that trigger us, and we get triggered, and sometimes we're not balanced, we're not steadfast, and we don't have our circle of support, we don't have our safety net of support. That's why I believe that, you know, if you need any help, you need any assistance, you're suffering alone, and you're crying, and you're weeping, and yet your wit's end, you're pulling your hair out of your head, you're eating your nails, man, you have nervous energy, and you need help, come speak to us. Come speak to somebody. Go to High Point. Go to Seven Hills. I mean, go to Star. I mean, go to, you know, one of these major Flagstaff places where you can get help and you can talk one-on-one and know that you're not alone. In these places, you have people who have lived experience and life experience and professional experience and understand what you're going through. You have to build a safe net that you can come on in, a circle of support. I believe in circle of support, not only for treatment support. I think that's important with NA, AA, CA, 12-step program. I believe in them. I believe in home groups. I believe in networking. I believe going to meetings. I think that's very important. And some of us function better in community. Then you have to have a community support. I mean, where you can go volunteer, where you can, you know, go to church, where you can go, you know, maybe play some pool or something. And you have to have some family support. I know some of our families are dysfunctional, and they are the trigger to some behaviors like that. But, you know, these are some things that I would encourage you to do. If you find that you're stressed out, burnt out, worn out because of life, because of society, because of finances, because of family, because things are going bad for you, I'm telling you, there's hope for you. There's help for you. It's a new day. If you just go out and just reach out to somebody, you know, just you're not alone. You know, you have to come out into the community. You have to find a pathway because you got potential. There's hope for you. I remember when I was an alcoholic and I was a drug addict. And I smoked cigarettes, too. And I thought there was no hope for me. I thought, you know, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I thought, you know, I was hitting rock bottom. I was missing a mark. I was crossing the wrong line. Then at the age of 28, I said, God, I need help. I need family support. I need community support. I need treatment support. I went into the halls. I went into the meetings. I went to the 12-step programs. I went to the community faith-based stuff. And God turned it around. Ever since November 28, 1986, I never smoked a cigarette. I never did any drugs. I never did any alcohol, cocaine, reefer, nothing. God freely delivered me mentally, psychologically, emotionally, and everything that I needed. And I needed to get help because I was an alcoholic, you know. And I read a book, God is for Alcoholics. So I'm telling you, there's hope for us. And I know that when stress, anxiety, and fear and tension comes upon us, we have to learn how to handle it, how to cope with it, how to deal with it so we can be successful, so, you know, we can meet the needs, so we can learn how to cope mentally and emotionally, you know, because, things get difficult on us. So, you know, one time I went into a program, and I stepped in when a guy from Taunton, they call him Sully. He brought me to my first program. My first program, it consists of going to Rayham, and Sully brought me to this meeting in Rayham and said, "Hi, my name is Curtis. I'm an alcoholic." And when I did that, you know, I raised my hand, and I had to go through step one. And step one, as you know, for those that's listening on the radio, step one, it says, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, and our lives have become unmanageable. And I had to admit, I was powerless over alcohol, that my life has become unmanageable. That means that every day after work, I would go to what they call a club called Tabin at that time, or I would go down to KC Pub that they used to have in town and drink there. And I would drink until nighttime. Then I'll go home and I would sleep and go back to work. But it came to a point that I had to admit that I was powerless over alcohol and drugs, that my life has become unmanageable, that I was missing work. I was, my personal hygiene was messing up. I was spending money crazily. And I had to admit to God and to mankind and to myself, man, that admit I was powerless over, you know, for me, my drinking with Budweiser, Peppermint Schnapps, Bacardi and Cokes, 100 Proof Smirnoff, Blue Label Vodka. You know, then of course you get introduced to drugs, marijuana and cocaine and cigarettes and reefer of all kind. Then before I knew it, that my life has become unmanageable. Then step two, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us back to sanity, because I was out of my mind. I was OC, out of control. I had to come to believe that I needed God greater than myself. I needed somebody stronger than myself to restore me back to sanity, that be in my right mind. Because sometimes I missed the mark. I was out of bounds. I crossed the wrong line. Then after I did step two, I made a decision to turn out my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. Now, at that time, I was not a theologian. I didn't know eschatology, pneumatology, sociology, apologetics, hermeneutics, the homiletics. I just, in every time I got in trouble, I always said, "Oh God," you know what I mean? Third step, make a decision, turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. So I used to talk to God all the time. I mean, even when I wasn't saved, I used to talk to God. When I was in time of trouble, I talked to God. "Oh God, help me. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, get me out of this trouble." You ever do that? Even though you're not saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, when you're in a jail cell, you say, "Oh God, help me." When you're in a detox, "Oh God, help me." And when you're back of a patrol car, "Oh God, help me." So I had to come make a decision. The steps that came, I made a decision, turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood. And I did that November 28th, 1986. And I went to a Christian drug and alcohol program. And the Christian drug and alcohol program was called Youth Challenge. And it was on 334 Stockton Street in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. And I went there a day after Thanksgiving, 1986, and I never been to a program in my life, and I did everything cold turkey. It was true. I stopped smoking Newports, stopped drinking. Everything was cold turkey. For the first 30 days, man, it was very difficult. The nicotine was calling me. I was craving it. I longed it. And but there was no smoke in the building. Actually, they had rules that you couldn't call to your family or friends for the first 30 days. And they had rules that you can't look out the window because you'd be out there looking in pretty soon. And it came to a point that I went to this program called Youth Challenge, and it was a great program, a structured program, had a great curriculum. They did a curriculum called Loving and Accepting Yourself, obedience to God, obedience to man, how to overcome failure, and different subjects like that. So I submitted myself to God. I made a decision to turn my world over and my life over to the cares of God, as I understood, because I knew I was a dead man. It was just a matter of time. If I continued my lifestyle in that manner with substance abuse and opiate use disorder, and smoking marijuana and cocaine and mescaline and window pane acid and angel dust and LSD and different things like that, it was just a matter of time that, I was going to be a dead man. So I never went to a high point. I never went to Star. I never went to, Stepping Stone. I never went to any of these programs and stuff. I tried AA, as I told you earlier, and for some people it's excellent, and for me in the beginning it wasn't excellent, because I heard somebody say, I tried AA, I tried NA, I tried CA, then the DA tried me. And that's how I found myself, until I hit rock bottom. And I was so low that I had to look up to see the bottom of my sneakers. That's what happened to me. When I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understood it, and I got the victory. Ever since November 28th, 1986, I never smoked another cigarette. I never drank another beer. I never did line of cocaine. I never freebased. I never shot dope. I never took any mescaline, window pane, anything like that. Percodans, Percocets, Oxycodone. God freed me. I never picked up. God has been good to me. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. That's why I am the president of Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. That's why we developed this program for mental health counseling, recovery coaching, overdose education, Narcan distribution, peer group support, and medication for opiate use people. I believe in that because I have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals turn their life over, and they stopped dancing with the devil, then they did 180 and went into another direction. So that's why I'm so passionately involved with this program, because I believe you have sons and daughters that are sick and suffering just like I was, in bondage, enslavement, longing for it, and craving for it. But until I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, then I had no hope. But when I did that, at that time, I didn't have a high school diploma. I left in high school in ninth grade, and I couldn't hardly read or write because I was dyslexic. I had speech impediment. And, back then, they didn't really care about you. But when I submitted myself to the will of God and turned my life over, I went back to school, and I got my GED from Aberdeen University. And I got my GED, and I said, oh, praise the Lord, I got my GED. Then after that, graduating a 15-month program. Now, I went 15 months. I didn't go 10 days detox, 30-day detox, and all that. No, for me, I had to do 15 months. Imagine that. I did a 15-month tour in the drug and alcohol rehabilitation center, and I gave back a year, and I became a junior staff. Then I became an intern. Then I started be on staff, and I started teaching. And I started teaching on loving, accepting yourself, obedience to God, how to overcome temptation and subjects like that. And after a while, I started learning my teaching gifts, and I can learn how to teach. And I had the gift of speaking at the same time, and I thank God for that. Then after I did my year internship, I went down to Phoenix, Arizona, and helped establish a Christian drug and alcohol program down there. Then after a period of time, I said, oh God, I need higher education. I believe in higher education. I really do. And so what happens is I said, God, I got my GED now. Let me send me to Bible college. So I went to a school and a place called a great man of God named Dave Wilkerson. He's the one that wrote The Cross and Switchblade. He's the one that trains young men like myself that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and all that. And to go to school. And I went to school. And when I went to school in Pennsylvania, Sunbury, Pennsylvania, it was hundreds of people that went. Maybe 100 people went to that school. It was excellent. And they taught me things like pneumatology eschatology, sociology, apologetics, hermeneutics, homiletics, and different subjects like that with the Pentateuch. And I started studying, I learned. And you had to have 108 credits just before you had to do a year internship. So I did all my academic studies. I did very well in school, and I thank God for that. And every summer, I used to come back into the center that I started out of, and I started teaching. Now, the center I was teaching out of, it wasn't a beautiful center. Matter of fact, it was in the projects at 334 Stockton Road. And the mayor gave us the first floor. The first floor of these projects had eight stories high. It had bars on the window. It had the big metal doors. The hallway was not clean. And we used to have jail bunks. And what we used to have for meals at that time was, powdered milk, powdered eggs, and we used to have chop up the meat ends from a supermarket, and that was our lunch, and that was our breakfast. We were a poor organization. It was no insurance at that time, and so I went there and I survived it. And every summer I used to come back and I used to teach other people. So I learned how to start teaching, in prisons and stuff. I started doing prison work and DYS work. Started going to Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Lutheran Church. I used to do all kind of street evangelism, and I used to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And I used to deal with the fourth world people. The fourth world people were people like me, the alcoholics, the drunks, what they call it, crackheads and all that. I was a fourth world people, and they didn't think I was going to be successful. So after I graduated my school, they asked me, they said, Kurt, I want you to go and do a year internship. So I went back to the same program that I started out of, 1986, and I came back maybe 5-6 years later, and I became the head administrator of the Christian Drug and Alcohol Program called the Youth Challenge. And I used to take in young men in from age 16 to 60 that had a problem, cocaine, crack, heroin, full-blown AIDS and everything like that, hepatitis C and court cases and all that. And I used to take them in right off the streets and introduction center, and we used to have about 30 men. So after I graduated school, I went to do my internship to the same program that I started out in 1986. That's why I passionately believe in pathways to recovery. That's why I know there's hope. And after I graduated, I went to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I became vice president of a Spencer Foundation that still helps old people get off cocaine, crack, heroin, and community outreach and community sports, treatment programs, and different things like that. Then I said, God, after I finished my commitment, I said, God, I need higher education. So at this point in time, I had 120 credits, enough for a bachelor's degree. So I transferred to Trinity University out in Deerfield, Illinois, one of the finest universities in the world, a theological seminary, and many people from all around the world go there. So I submitted myself there, and I made the honor roll there, and I finished my schooling. Then God called me to come back to 33 Burley Road at Calvary Pentecostal Church to be the overseer and the pastor of the church. So I came here in September 1995, and I became a senior pastor, and I have been overseeing this church ever since 1995 until now. 31 years I oversee it. So after I oversee it, one thing I started doing, I says, let me develop a mental health, counseling division. Let me do some overdose education program. Let me do some peer group support, and I went into the prison. So in 1995, I started in Ash Street Jail. And after I did Ash Street Jail, I went to Dartmouth. And after Dartmouth, old colony in Southeastern. I used to go everywhere in DYS, Department of Youth Education. So I, for all the years from 1995 until now, 31 years, I've been doing DYS in Taunton. I've been doing prison ministry in Ash Street Jail. Then I did Celebrate Recovery in New Bedford and Surrounding, the biggest 12-step program in all of Southern New England. I mean, for 15 years, they call it the spiritual meeting, the 12-step meeting, you know, Celebrate Recovery. We used to go Bibles, water baptism. I mean, we did great work. We helped out hundreds, if not thousands, of men and women all throughout the Salt Coast. Then the virus came, and after the virus came, everything was shut down. But we continued on for a year after that on Zoom. Then what happened was I tried to reconstruct it, but it was never the same again. But thousands of individuals have been touched because of, you know, our advocacy. So then later on, when the virus was here, I established Calvary Cares Drop-In Center. We started feeding people. Now, as I told you, we feed maybe 300 to 400 people on a weekly basis. We're happy about that. Then we also help out the House of Hope. The House of Hope is on Mount Pleasant Street in New Bedford, and they have 60 to 70 people there. And every single week, we give out food to them that's living there. And I'm talking about food. I'm talking about $1,500 to $2,000 worth of food so they can feed the people there. And that's part of their recovery. They have Grand Pierre groups of support there, overdose education, and Bob Hughes is doing tremendous life and saving people's life. And House of Hope is a great thing. Many people in the community used to call it the House of Dope, but it's not. It's a House of Hope. It's one of the best facilities all around. I mean, it actually saves people's life of all kind. So, you know, so I came back in 95, and now I've been here 31 years, and now we're doing wraparound services. Now we're feeding people of all kind. We're doing grief counseling. We're doing health insurance navigation, harm reduction services, mental health counseling, medication for opiate use disorder. I mean, we were doing workshops of all kind. And we understand. I understand. I have life experience and lived experience and professional experience. And that's why I reach out to you and tell you there's hope for you. There's hope for your children. There's hope for your grandchildren. And people say, how do you know? You know, I know because, you know, I lived there. I remember picking up cigarette butts off the street. I remember craving and longing for alcohol and drug abuse. I know it messed me up, but until I admitted that I was powerless over my addiction and that my life has become unmanageable, I had no hope. Then I came to believe, and I'm not ashamed. I came to, people say, oh, you use Jesus as a crutch. I said, okay, then give me two, because I'm making great progress. I mean, from where I came from, I mean, I came from the ghetto. I came from hopelessness and helplessness. And it came about, I got out of the projects. I went to my first and only drug and alcohol program. I got my GED. I graduated about 50 months program. I stayed on that staff for a whole year. After that, I went to Bible school for 4 years. And after that, I came back to be the same director of the same program I started out in November 28, 1986. After that, a vice president of Christian Foundation. After that, I went to the university. Then after that, I got ordained as minister and a drug counselor. Then before you know it, I became the president of this organization, winning all kind of awards. On Dr. Martin Luther King Drum Major Award. I mean, I won Freetown Man of the Year, and I'm not boasting. I'm just testifying that God can turn things around for you. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, that's why we develop Calvary Care, that hope, because we care. We care for you spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And we know there's hope for you. So if you ever need us or if you need any assistance with us, feel free to drop in to our center. Our center is warm, is welcoming. Right to this week, I have Stepping Stone here. I have Nostar here. And we're dealing with youth, young men from different gangs, the Latin King, Bloods, Crips, Gangs Disciples, guys that push a lot of crack cocaine, heroin, gunshot. This is what we do. We reach out to somebody's sons and daughters, you know, and that we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we're helping the working poor. So, you know, we're not High Point, we're not Seven Hills, we're not Star, we don't have millions of dollars, but we're in a rural area where we can assist, where we can guide, we can interface, we can have community luncheons and dinners together. I just want to remind you, May 22nd, this Friday coming, we got an excellent workshop with the Freetown Fire Department and Freetown Board of Health, and we're going to talk about recognizing, stopping the strokes, and recognizing it's going to be excellent. We do CPR training. We do Narcan training. I mean, we do all kinds of training for people, and everything that we do is for free. So we just want to give you a welcome. Come on down, stop on in, you know, drop on into the center, especially if you need food and you need assistance. Come every Thursday at 12 o'clock. You listen to Calvary Cares Radio Hour. My name's Curtis Dias. Feel free to call me at 508-763-8343, 508-763-8343. We'd love to help you and to assist you because Calvary does care, and we appreciate you. There's hope for you. If God can do it for me, I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. Then after that, everything was excellent. I'm telling you, educated, I'm wealthy. God's been very, very good to me. So if you need any help, any hope, or any healing, feel free to call us at 508-763-8343. We're more than happy to help you and assist you. Listen to Calvary Cares Radio Star. Thank you for listening to us.